For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 24th, 2000. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Come on up here, Grandpa. This is Glenn Miller. This is one of my spiritual daddies.
So, are you finished?
I'm finished.
You're finished.
I'm finished.
All right.
Probably forever.
I'll let you go sit down. I thought that Ronnie Baggio was going to get here in time to take my place, but he had to. He forgot his boat and he came in his pickup truck, and his pickup truck didn't hardly want to travel. He said he was traveled 20 miles an hour all through Shreveport. And he said it was raining so hard he couldn't hardly see the front of the truck. And I said, well, you're supposed to get in your boat and brought your boat along. But anyway, he just got here a little bit ago, and so I've got to take his place here this afternoon. And tomorrow, Sister Coffee's going to take my place here. I asked the girls a while ago if he was mean to them this afternoon. They said, yes, you were. So you know what to look forward to tomorrow now, too. She'll be worse tomorrow. Yeah. I've been working on an article for a couple of weeks. Got it along pretty well. I just finished one a couple of weeks ago before I started this one, and it isn't quite ready with all the grammatical. I write it, and then somebody else has to find out if I said ain't or something, you know. And so the girls, Amy and Crystal, Donnellene, she went through it and corrected my grammar. And Donnellene and Amy and Crystal there haven't had time to type it out. But I've finished an article on the seventh day. There is such controversy coming up again about what day is Sabbath day. So, and I get letters all the time wanting to know why I don't observe Saturday as a Sabbath. And so my answer has always been, well, Jesus said it, and Paul said every day was the day of the Lord. And what day you decide to serve the Lord is your Sabbath day if you do that. But you see, that's not good enough answer for a lot of people. So I decided to do some historical study to see if I could get a proper answer. So I wrote this article the seventh day. And we'll get it ready in another month or so, maybe, to make copies of it. It's a little booklet. Turned out to be a whole lot more than I intended when I started, you know, because I went back in history and researched history. I had the library help me. I had a couple observatories help me. Because I went back through history to see what had happened to our calendar. And I find that the calendar has been changed four times. I find that they set up a international date line. And when you go across the international date line one day, you're in another day, and you turn around and come back 5 miles across it the other way, and you're in a different day. So if you kept going around the world and doing that, eventually you'd have more days than there were in the week if you went around the world enough times in the same direction. So you see, the argument that I have come to the conclusion to with the help of the observatories and those that work in that field, and with the help of history, I found that it's impossible to prove what day any day is, historically, to prove what any day is. You cannot prove it. So the Lord was right, and Paul was right, when Jesus said he was the Lord of the Sabbath, and Paul said that whatever man worships at the day, Paul was right also. Now you may, and I say in my article, if you can prove me wrong in this, please show me. I'll be glad to be corrected, because I've done a lot of historical research on it. And I'll tell you what, the astronomy, one of the down at the Texas Observatory told me. Here's what he told me. And he was a Hebrew man. He said, I'm a Jew. But he said, in our studies, we find that a 24-hour day, in compared with the universe, is such a minute period of time that it is impossible for us to prove what a 24-hour day of time was 5,000 or 4,000 or 3,000 years ago. Now, we've heard this about, I guess some of you have heard, that they have found the lost day of, that is not so. That is a myth. That is that they've taken and found where Joshua's time stood still, and then when the degree the came back 10 degrees, that they tell me in astronomy that's a myth, and the person who wrote that has no historical evidence or computer evidence to prove what he's saying. They say they took a computer and proved it. The man I talked to at the observatory said that's a farce. It's not so. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. I don't know why I got. Well, I would just mention that I had just finished the article here, and I've started another article which I've been working on, and it's called God Said. God Said. And so I'm going to give us a little preview here this afternoon of the article I'm writing called God Said. Now, I was never taught that God said really anything. My folks got saved in Pentecost when I was a year old. So for almost 79 years, I've been in Pentecost. And I've heard all the preachers of Pentecost in the early days and in the missions and all. And I've never heard anybody teach on God said. I was never taught by my pastor, by my shepherd, or by my parents that God said. And that's a shame. Because if I'd have been taught that God said, it'd have saved a lot of problems that I've gotten into, my children have gotten into, my grandchildren have gotten into, because I wasn't taught, and I never taught, that God said. Well, I was told, don't do this, and don't do that, and you shouldn't do that, and that's naughty, and that's nasty, but nobody ever said God said. They just said that they were saying, I shouldn't do that. And nobody ever stood behind the pulpit. My dad never said, my mother never said, don't do that because God said. And today we've got a generation of young people and a generation of what we call the 60 age, the love age. And we've got that generation because the pastors and never stood in the pulpit and said, God said. Well, we're going to look at here today a little bit and see what God said. His word is his word. And we're going to use the word to see what God said. There's no other evidence. There's no other background for anything. It is written. That's what Jesus said. It is written. God said. It is written. His truth is truth. What I say may not be true. My what I find in my study of the seventh day. Maybe some of the things I found, I've used history and that, but maybe somewhere somebody can prove that some things I found may have a different meaning to them. If they do, fine. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to learn. Because I don't want to talk to somebody about something and then not be able to prove what I'm talking about. Now, you see, the Bible doesn't prove everything. History proves a whole lot of things that the Bible has left out. History proves it. So I like to study history. I don't like to. I do. I study encyclopedias. I study history books. I buy books about different subjects to see what history says, because history proves the Bible. The Bible don't prove history. History proves the Bible. History proves God said. So that's where we came from. And the Lord says, He said, I change not. So I'm the one that's got to change. You see, what I've been taught, if it's an error, then I've got to change. I may not like the change. I may not at first agree with the change, but that's immaterial. God said, and I've got to change. Now, it's just like deliverance. When I first heard about demons having Christians, I didn't believe a word of it. I said, it's not so. No demon can cross the bloodline. That is false doctrine. And in my day, where I came from, we were talked about wildfire and false doctrine. Be careful. The preachers say, be careful. Don't get in wildfire. Don't go over to that church. They got wildfire over there. Don't go over there. Well, I don't know what wildfire was, but that's what we were told, you know. And Inez knows. She's heard that. And some of the rest of you have, too. But I found out that a lot of things that I was told that wasn't so, they are. I said, no Christian can cross the bloodline. Well, it depends on where the bloodline is. That's what mounts. If you've got some area in your life that you have participated in and you haven't asked forgiveness for it, you might be a Christian, you haven't repented and asked forgiveness for it, there's no blood going to cover that. The demon's got a right to visit you there. Till you get it under the blood, get it washed in the blood, then he's got no right and you can get rid of him. Just like the doctors ask you today, they make you fill out a form, want to know all about your ancestors. What are they doing that for? Oh, there can't be any curses come down from my ancestors. What do you think the doctors are asking you for? Because it's coming down the ancestral line. That's where it's coming. So, and they're doing it, and it's, you accept it, but you talk about it from the pulpit, and it's heresy. It's not heresy. It's truth. That's truth. Amen. Well, let's look at just some of the things that is written that God said. Just some of them is all we're going to look at. There's a whole lot, because there's a whole book full. And so we can't cover all of that. But we'll cover some here for a while until about 5 o'clock or thereabouts, if I don't run out before then. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll start there. In the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, here's another thing. A lot of people say that's Old Testament, that's Moses. Well, I got a problem with that, because it says God said. And what are you going to do about that? If God said, how can it be Moses? Moses is only repeating what God told Moses to say. So when you come along and say, well, Moses said that, well, you've lost the argument already, because God said, told Moses to say it. Anyway, we'll look at chapter 6 here in Deuteronomy. And it says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Well, it says God commanded to be taught to us. He says, to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear, reverence, honor the Lord your God, to keep all the statutes and all his commandments, which I command you, and thou and thy son's son, all the days of your life. Well, that's the third generation right there. So we talk about inheriting something or coming down through the family line. Well, right here, God says that we're to teach this to the second and the third generation. So here we are following the generation of my generation. Okay? To teach it to my son and my son's son, that all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Well, what is that going to bring? That's going to bring long life. So it may be my fault if my son and daughter doesn't live long, or at least 70 years. It might be because I didn't teach them God said, which brings long life. So there's a responsibility there for long life for my family. Also, we'll find that it also brings health. Teaching the word of the Lord will bring health to all your flesh and to their flesh. Pull that door shut there, please. Pretty please. Okay. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe. To what? What does it say? To do it. It doesn't say, do you want to? Would you like to? Would you think about it? No. God said, do it. Study my commandments. Study my statutes. Pay attention to them. Teach them to your sons and your daughters. And do it. I don't want to. That's too bad. God didn't ask me if I wanted to. He said, do it. Do it. So, that's my responsibility and it's yours. Now, I'm teaching something here right now that almost every one of you never heard anybody teach before. That God said, do it. And that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Abraham's blessings are mine, but they're mine if I obey his word. In the land that floweth with milk and honey, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That word there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That word Lord there is a plural word in the original. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Yahweh, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That doesn't leave any place out for anything else. That verse right there puts God before everything. Everything. If we put something else before God, right there we have sinned. Because that makes God before everything else in our life. You shall love the Lord thy God, Yahweh, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be for frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. The Lord says here that we are to put them in our mind indelibly, write them upon our mind. Or, as they literally did, they made little things and put scriptures in them and carried them around their head. And some of the Orthodox Hebrew people still do that today, likewise. And they have these little things that you can buy and you put verses in them and carry them on your arm. But the literal meaning of that, because that's a show to do that. The literal meaning of that is to get it in your mind so that you do it. Mentally, and you do it physically. That your work is such that your work magnifies the Lord. You don't do something with your work that is a disgrace to the Lord. And there's a lot of work that people do that's a disgrace to the name of the Lord. So here we're told that we're to observe the statutes and the judgments of the Lord, which the Lord is commanding us through His Word. It is written. Okay, so it says here we're to teach it to our children and our grandchildren. We're to teach it. So we're to teach that God said. Well, let's look over here in Proverbs 22. You should know that verse before we even get there. But in case you don't, I'll read it here to you. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. How do you do that? I wasn't trained up that way. I was trained up. I went taken to church. I listened to the preacher, but the preacher never told me God said. He told me that I got saved through the blood of Jesus. He taught me salvation. They taught about the Holy Spirit. They taught water baptism. They taught healing. They never taught deliverance. They never taught the children or told my dad or I was never told to teach my kids that God said. And that's very important, that what God said. And so we're going to look at some things here that God has said. As I think about it, you know, most of us here, really, if we got our just dues, according to the Scripture, before the mercy of the Lord was extended, we need to be all taken out and stoned today. Because almost every one of us had violated the Word of God that God said you shouldn't do, and we have, where God said in before Jesus came with grace and mercy, take you out and stone you. And most of us are worthy to be stoned. Right. And why? Because we were never taught. Now, some of you weren't raised in a church like me, but I've sat in the church since I was a year old. 79 years I've sat in the church, in the sawdust, on the wooden benches, under the tent, taught salvation. Wonderful. But never taught us God said. Well, let's see what God said in some areas. We can't begin to cover all, but we're going to look at some areas. And we'll start with Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now, I'm just laying a groundwork here using Deuteronomy 23 to show you before we get to things that God said. But here he said here in Deuteronomy 23, he said, a bastard or an illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Today we've got a lot of illegitimate children. And the only way that they're scriptural, that they can serve the Lord, is that the curse of the bastards is broken off of them. Jesus came to become our curse. In Galatians 3:13, he says that Jesus became our curse. Therefore, we have authority in Jesus' name now to break the curse of the illegitimacy off of the children today. And if that's in your house and you have a child or a grandchild or what, take that child and come in the name of Jesus and appropriate and apply Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became their curse and break that curse off of that child. I don't care how old the kid is, if they're adults. And you can help them to understand that. Pray over them. Break that curse because it goes on down the family. Why? Here, listen to how far it goes. It says, illegitimate, a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord even to his tenth generation. That curse runs for 10 generations. It says, an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Well, now that really isn't a correct translation, that word forever there, but it's for the ten generations. But who are these Ammonites and Moabites? They're Lot's children by incest. They're Lot's two grandsons by his daughters. And if you want for reference, here, I'm not going to turn there, but you'll find that in Genesis 19, verses 35 through 39, where Lot's two daughters got him drunk and committed incest and bore these two boys who became the tribes of the Moabites and the Ammonites, became those two tribes in the land. Another case of 10-generation curse is Judah. Judah committed incest with his daughter-in-law. He shouldn't have been doing that in the first place because that was a fornication. And he thought he had a whore out here sitting on the side of the street, but it was his daughter-in-law in disguise. And he committed incest with his daughter-in-law. And here comes two boys that are born to the line of Judah. And we find out that what trouble it caused. It caused Israel a whole lot of trouble because Israel demanded a king. But the tribe of Judah is the line from which the kingdom comes, which the king comes. It's not the line of the lawgiver. It's not the line. Double blessing, the line of the law, the line of judgment is Dan. The line of the double blessing is Joseph. Joseph received the double blessing, not Judah. The tribe of Judah does not have the double blessing. The tribe of Joseph has the double blessing. Find the nation in the earth, the nations in the earth that have the double blessing, and you'll find it. You'll find Joseph. You'll find that the tribes aren't lost, never were lost. Jesus knew where they were. Paul knew where they were. James knew where they were. Jude knew where they were. They were never lost. Study history. You can study secular history, and you can follow the tribes where they went to from Syria and migrated on through till they came into Europe and so forth. Secular history. You can find them all there. Anyway. Talking about Judah here. Well, I throw that in. I don't know where all these other things, rabbit trails, come from, but anyway. Israel got into a lot of trouble because of this, because they come along and they demanded a king. Well, God wasn't ready to give them a king, but they was just carrying on. So God told Samuel, well, Samuel, go ahead, give them a king. If they want somebody they can look up to, there's Saul over there. He's 6 feet tall, and he's got big, broad shoulders. Go over there and make him king. But that's not my choice. Why couldn't David's father have been anointed king instead of Saul? Why? Have you ever taken lineage of Judah to King David? Go through your Bible, run it, mark it. David was the 10th generation. God could not disobey his own word. David's father could not be king. And God gave him a king. It wasn't his choice, wasn't his plan. But then David came. Of course, Samuel didn't think it was David. And David's father didn't think enough about it to even invite, have him come in out of the field to join the party that they were throwing here for all the family. Samuel came down and threw a big party. David wasn't even there. He said, "You mean you want him? Yeah, go get him. That's him. Man after God's own heart." He wasn't proud. He wasn't looking to be anybody. He was out there on the hillside. He went down to visit his brothers when they were in camp. They said, "What'd you come down here for, to spy out the land?" He said, "No, I just come down to bring you something to eat." See, they were jealous of him because they were there when he'd been anointed king. When he came down there and killed Goliath, he was already king of Israel. But he never said nothing about it. He didn't flaunt himself and say, "I'm somebody." He just went about his way. If I'm king, God will make me king. I don't have to do it. If God's promised you something. You don't have to do it. God will do it. When you try to do it, you'll mess it all up. You just let God do it. Amen. So anyway, God says that to the 10th generation, incest is a curse. Dear Abby said in her column one time, she said, somebody wrote to her something about incest in the family, and her answer was that incest was the closet demon of every family. She didn't exclude any, every family. And in our studies, and those who deal with in deliverance, you'll find that one of the demons that you need to deal with in every family is incest, because it carries 10 generations down through the line, and maybe it didn't crop up this time, but next time it may crop up big time. So it needs to be taken care of and broken and done away with, because it's a 10-generation curse. In fact, all sexual sins are a 10-generation curse. The other sins of having other gods and things like that are a 4-generation curse. Well, anyway, let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And here in Exodus chapter 20, we find a 4-generation curse, just as we found the 2nd and 3rd generation curse that we're supposed to teach our children. If we don't teach, if you don't do it, if you come under a curse. So a lot of us need to think about that and ask the Lord to forgive us and change our ways after I get through here today. Because I tell you, it makes me sick when I see what the nations are and what our kids are and all, because we have not taught them. God said, chapter 20, and God spake all these words, not Moses, but Moses repeated them. I am Yahweh, the Lord thy God, which brought you forth out of the land of sin, Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me, period. And America's got hundreds of gods, just like India's got hundreds of demon gods. We've got them here in America. Everywhere from sports to houses and cars and clothes and everything else. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I am Yahweh, the Lord thy God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of those that do not honor me. King James says hate. Some of your other translations say that do not reverence or honor the Lord. Hate is a mistranslation. It makes us think that God hates us. That is not so. God wants us to reverence and honor his name. Amen. So I have marked out, run a little line real light through the word hate in my Bible and put down here reverence and honor my word. And then he says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then it says, goes on to say, and tells us here the 10 commandments, which we all should know. If we don't, we should know the 10 commandments. So that's the first thing that God said. First of all, he told us the 10 commandments. We are to obey and keep the 10 commandments. Then he added to the commandments statutes which are added part of the 10 commandments. So let's look at some of the statutes that God has ordained that we should look at. But verses 7 through 17 here an iteration of the 10 commandments, which we are obliged to keep, whether you like it or not, you are. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. And I'm going to use the Amplified Bible to read, because it is a little more explicit, and I'll tell you why here when everybody finds it and we start to read it. Okay, Everybody got Leviticus 18? Now it says, and the Lord said, God said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh. You shall not do as was done in the land of Egypt, in which you dwelt, nor shall you do as is done in the land of the Canaanites to which I am bringing you. Neither shall you walk in their statutes or their laws. You shall do mine ordinances and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am Yahweh, the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man do, shall he live in them long life. I am the Lord. And then verse 6 says, let me find it over here. I didn't turn. I need it in here. Verse 6 says in the King James, it says, none of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. Now you notice here, King James says you shall not approach. That gives a misconception of the scripture, the King James. So I'm going to read, so that's why I'm using the Amplified here, because it gives us an understanding of what God is saying here. So let's read verse 6. I'll read it in Amplified. None of you shall approach anyone close of kin to him to have sexual relations, for I am the Lord. And it doesn't say, see, you look at it and say, oh, that's supposed to uncover, take their dress off, or do something like that. No, it goes, what God's saying goes way beyond that. It says you shall not have sexual relations with a near of kin. Right here, God laid down the first laws of the family. Up until this time, there was no law against intermarriage. But here now, God has laid down a law concerning intermarriage. From this time on, there's to be no more marriage of cousins and aunts and uncles and cousins. It spells that out as we read through this chapter. But God said here, see, that you shall not approach to have sexual relations to anyone near of kin. Okay? So that takes in that part. Verse 7 says, the nakedness of your father, which is the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not have intercourse with her. That's incest. The nakedness of your father, wife of your father's wife, you shall not uncover or have intercourse with them. It is your father's nakedness. See, God said, you shall not have intercourse or uncover the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or born abroad. Incest. But you see, nobody that ever stood in a pulpit in my lifetime, or my parents, never said to me, God said that you shall not touch your sister, or my sister shall not bother with your brother. But if I'd have been told, and if I'd have told my kids that, there'd have been a whole lot of things different in our families. Because God said, don't do it. He just didn't say, you read over here, don't uncover. God said, don't have relations with your sister or your brother. Now, this little verse here that I just read takes in a whole lot more than the eye looks at. You see, this little verse, and it's three times in the scripture, this verse is. It appears three times. It appears in the chapter 20, I believe, or 19, and it appears in Deuteronomy 27. But this little verse takes in any relationship of a family. Your mother died and left your father with some children. Your father died and left your mother with some brothers and sisters. Now your father marries this other woman over here whose husband has died, and they bring these two families together who's got children and children, and now you got two families brought together. And now this husband and wife now have another child or two, and so you've got three families here. And that verse covers all three of those families. Any way you can put the family together, that verse covers it. And in any way of relationship that you would have with that family, even though they're not blood relatives, God considers it incest that they would marry or have sexual relations. Incest. 10-generation curse. So God said, don't do it. You must not have sexual relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Their nakedness you shall not uncover, for they're your own flesh. You must not have intercourse with your father's wife's daughter. No relation to you. He's married a woman that's got a girl. Now it's considered part of the family. And you don't marry her or have sexual relations with her. She is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not have intercourse with your father's sister. She is your father's kinswoman. You shall not have sexual relations with your mother's sister, for she is your mother's near kinswoman. You shall not have intercourse with your father's brother's wife. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. It's taken in. See where it's taken in? The whole relationship here. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She's no blood relative, but now she is. She is your son's wife. You shall not have intercourse with her. You shall not have intercourse with your brother's wife. She belongs to your brother. You shall not marry a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to have intercourse. They are her near kinswomen, the woman, and it is wickedness and an outrageous offense. You must not marry a woman in addition to her sister, to be a rival to her. Now, there's where Jacob got in trouble, but it really wasn't Jacob's fault. Jacob never asked for that, but God arranged it to have the 10 tribes and 12 tribes, to have the tribes which became 13 through Joseph and his two sons. But God allowed that to happen so that the family would be those to multiply on the earth and carry the word of the Lord. So it says, also you shall not have intercourse with a woman during her ministerial period. It is uncleanness. Now, see, God said don't. But I grant you that there's a lot of you sitting in this room that have. And maybe you don't know that you're not supposed to. Well, you do now. And God says that... And we have prayed for people who've had prostate trouble, who've had female trouble, and until they repented of that, and the Lord showed us that it was caused from having sexual relations during the ministerial time, and until they repented of that, and when they did, we prayed for them and delivered them from the problem and prayed healing for them, and God healed them of their female problems and the problem with the prostrate. Because God said, don't do it. So if we do it, you're going to get the consequences. Almost everything has a consequence. I've just finished reading a book that we've got back here on the table that we've just learned about. Well, what's the name of it, Reba? The book, the manual. A more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? Obey the word of the Lord. And the man who wrote it has been studying diseases and finding, and he's finding that, I believe, and I agree with him, you've inherited from your ancestors, that every disease of every kind has a demonic origin, and if we search long enough and hard enough, he believes, and I believe too, that we can find the answer because we find the cause. And then we can eliminate the cause, and we have healing. And just like with this prostrate and female problem that we have found that about. Well, we found the same thing true with some areas of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. We found through having a Bible study here one Thursday night a few years ago, purely seemingly accidental, which it wasn't accidental. It seemed that way. It's getting cold in here to me. I don't know about the rest of you. Turn that thing off back there on off, pretty please. But we found through a Bible study we had that eating a blood sausage, blood pudding, and blood soup is one of the causes of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia. It's a curse. And the person that the Lord showed this to had never made it and really didn't know that she had ever eaten any of it. But she knew that her mother had eaten it. She knew that her grandmother had made it and her great-grandmother had made it. Blood sausage, blood pudding, and blood soup. And the whole, and the grandmother, the great, her great-grandmother, her grandmother, and her mother had all died of sugar diabetes. And the Lord showed her, from after we had a Bible study, that the cause of their sugar diabetes was disobeying God's word and eating blood. Because in several places, it says that if you shed blood or the blood should be poured out on the ground and covered with dirt, when you slaughter the cattle or kill them, you're to pour the blood on the ground and cover it with dirt. The Bible tells you to do that. And also in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 17, it says it is a perpetual statute. What is perpetual? Forever. It is a perpetual statute that you eat neither blood nor fat. Okay, we found out that through this Bible study we had here, we found out that eating of blood was a cause of sugar diabetes. But the doctors have been telling us for how many years? A long, long time. That fat is a cause of plaque and so forth in your heart, and you have heart trouble. But I know better than God, so I don't have to trim it off the meat. I'm going to eat it. So you got your deserve. You got what God says you're going to get. He said, don't do it. That's way back what? 3,000 years ago. 2,500. That God said, don't do it. And all these years, we've had the word of the Lord to tell us not to do it. Nobody's ever stood up in the pulpit and say, don't do it. Why? Because they ate it themselves. They didn't want to quit. Or they don't believe what they read. They don't believe what they read. But so we'd better believe what we read. We'd better believe what God said. Amen. Anyway, that's a sidetrack again. All right. So let's read on here. Where'd I quit at? About verse 20? Yeah, verse 20 is where I quit. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her, adultery. You shall not give any of your children to pass through the fire and sacrifice them to Moloch, for nor shall you profane the name of your God by giving your children to false gods. I am the Lord. Abortion. That's abortion. We're offering our children to the God of abortion, to the God of Moloch. And God, and that's the thing, basically. That's the worst thing that God judged the nations for and judged Israel for. It was bad enough that they made sex statues and worshiped sex statues. God was against that. But the thing he was really against was offering the children, was sacrificing the children. Because we find that several kings, different from time to time, stopped the child sacrifice, got rid of the god of Baal, of Moloch, and stopped the child sacrifice, but they never did away with the groves. The groves were sex idols, where they went and practiced, had sex orgies, and had the statues of male and female sex orgies, big as I am. And look in your encyclopedias. You'll find, if you want to look it up, it's all there. They had male sex organs that they went and worshiped as big as I am. And they had female sex organ there. And they went there and had sex orgies. But the thing that God hated the most, he hated that too, but the thing he hated the most was the sacrifice of the children. They were his. And today, and we have no, except the mercy of the Lord and the prayers of the saints, is all this held the judgment of God from destroying this nation. because we've done worse. There's been more children sacrificed to abortion in this nation than was ever sacrificed in the days of the children of Israel. What, are we approaching over 40 million now? 40 million. More than the population of this state's are less than 3 million. Just the state of Arkansas. And so we need to thank the Lord every day for His mercy for us. Because except for His mercy to us, we would be destroyed. And His judgments still may come on this nation. And if it does, then God will look after us. Whatever happens to us, don't worry about it. Don't even think twice about it. Because we know we know in whom we've believed. Amen. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep me against that day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter where. Because I know where my foundation is. It's in Jesus. Amen. Well, then it says, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination. Ho, ho, ho. What's Clinton going to do with that one? What's Hillary going to do with that one? Oh, but God's a God of love. He doesn't mean that anymore. He's love now. No, God is still the God of judgment. And His word has not changed. It is written, and it has not been changed. It says that if you change one dot or one comma or cross one T, that you're in judgment. And if you're in judgment for that, what do you think the judgment is when you say God's done away with it, what it is written? Nope. God's judgment is still God's judgment. Amen. And they can say all they want that God's that they can have their homosexual pastor and their lesbian pastor and have their homosexual churches. It's an abomination to God. Amen. It's an abomination to God. And there is deliverance. In the name of Jesus, there is deliverance. Which reminds me, Maxwell White was here one time, and he was here preaching one night. Well, actually, the pulpit was over here. We've extended this building since that happened. This platform was back over here. Anyway, the podium was setting up here, and he was up there, and he got through teaching. When he got through teaching, he started calling demons out. And he stepped over to the side of the pulpit like this, stand like this over here, and he was calling the demons out, and he got around the homosexuals and that, and just went on. And when he did, boy sitting back over here about where Philip's sitting, right there, sitting there, got up, and a boy sitting over here about where Inez is, Inez was probably here, got up. And they both walked up here to the front. Walked right up in front of Brother Maxwell. And they were tall, thin boys in cowboy boots. And never thought anything about it. He never thought anything about it. He just thought they walked up there for prayer. And all of a sudden, one of them took off and cold cocked him. I mean, he laid him off. Busted pieces. It fell in pieces on the floor. Knocked him up against the wall. Hit him so hard, knocked him up back up against the wall like that, and he come up out of there. That was the wrong thing for them guys to do. They were homosexuals, both of them. One of them was from Utah, and one was from Texas. Never seen each other before, didn't know each other, didn't know that each other was in the building. We had a deliverance session with them two guys. Amen. But there, see that spirit, that homosexual spirit? It bonded the other. Both of them guys got up the same time. Walked right up there and took him on. But the blood of Jesus, the authority of His name prevails. Amen, amen. Amen. Brother Maxwell White was a wonderful teacher. We're blessed to have had him. We're blessed to have learned from him. We're blessed to still have some of his books that are still available. Amen, amen. He was scheduled to be the speaker here Christmas week. The two weeks. weeks before he passed away. He was in Florida, and he was supposed to come on his way home from Florida to here, and he never made it. Yes, he did make it. Amen. He made it all the way. Well, what else does it say here? Neither shall you lie with any beast and defile yourself with it. Neither shall any woman yield herself to a beast to lie with it. It's confusion, perversion, and degrading carnal. But yet, on the newsstands, they've got all these books about homosexual and lesbian, and they sell it. Kids can walk up and buy it, and bestiality, and all this stuff. But God says, no, that you're not to touch it. Today, in my day, was when you lived on a farm, and all of us that lived on a farm, you have much more opportunity to see some of this than when you live in a city and like that. It's not as pronounced, but it's out in the country. But you need, no matter where you live, you need to understand that God said, don't touch it. He says, you do not defile yourself in any of these ways, for in all these ways the nations are defiled, which I'm casting out before you. Now, we're a nation individually, and we've got to get this stuff cast out of us. We're a nation. I'm a nation, and you're a nation, and this stuff has to be gotten out of us so we can be without spot and wrinkle. And the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the iniquity upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. You know, deliverance, sometimes you see it, the inhabitants get vomited out. We've had it vomited out all over the floors around in here, and we'll have it some more. And it'll clean up, but you'll get the land cleaned out and set free. Amen, amen. So shall you keep my statutes and mine ordinances, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither the native born or stranger who sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land around you done, who were before you, and the land is defiled. Do none of these things, lest the land spew out and defile it, as it spewed out the nations about you. Whoever commits any of these abominations shall be cut off from among his people. If you die before you're 70 years old, you got cut off. That's right. We're promised, guaranteed 70 years, unless you get cut off. And if there's a problem, you better find out what the problem is and get it taken care of so you don't get cut off. Because if your ancestors or you, and I'm sure that they have, at least your ancestors, probably some of you, have been involved in all these things. Unless you've repented of them and been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you're subject to be cut off. But God's promised us 70 years, and then he said there's a possibility of 120. Well, sometimes I don't feel like 120, but I still decree it. I still decree that God said I could have 120. Well, in March, I'm going to start Moses' part. Moses started when he was 80, so in March, I'm going to start over. Yeah. Come on. Amen. And Moses got the 120. And I trust that God will show me what needs to be done and can do so that I can walk in that place of righteousness and holiness without spot and wrinkle. Now, Moses didn't always do that either, you know. After he passed the 80, he still made a little few mistakes. So I'm not going to guarantee that I won't make a few too, but I hope that I'm quick to repent. We need to be quick repenters so that we can live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Inez over here, she rolled up with Moses the other day. She's already rolled, but I'm catching up with her in a couple of 3 months. We're going down Moses' side, and we're going to walk it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, it says, so keep my charge and do not practice any of the abominable customs which were practiced before you, and do not defile yourself with them, for I am the Lord your God. Okay. Now, let's look at, where am I at here? Glory. Okay. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 27. Where on earth's the clock? I see it up there. Huh? Well, I don't know. You'll have to make me a list of them. And I think you got one there already. You got it. She's working on it. Okay. In Deuteronomy 27, it says, starting with verse 9. We start with verse 9. Deuteronomy 27. And Moses and the Levitical priest said to all Israel, keep silent and hear, O Israel, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God. And when you got saved, you become the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are. Hear, O Israel. And that's what we are, the people of Israel. So you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and do his commandments and statutes, which I command you this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gizrim to bless the people when you have passed over the Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph's sons, and Benjamin. And these tribes, now you notice there, is specified Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who are now two full tribes. But Ephraim has the blessing, the double portion. He is the head of the family because Joseph was the eldest son of Jacob's beloved. He was the eldest son of his beloved, so he received the double portion. He is the head of the household. He's the eldest, considered by Jacob to be the eldest and the head of the household. I'm the eldest of my family, so biblically I'm the patriarch of my family. The eldest son here of your family is likewise. And that's a responsibility that really is a great responsibility, really. It said, and these tribes shall stand upon Mount Ebal to pronounce the curse for disobedience. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare with a loud voice to all the men of Israel, cursed be the man who makes a graven or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer, Amen. Now, this is a four-generation curse, this is. Cursed be he who dishonors his father or his mother. That's a four-generation curse. Doesn't matter. You may not agree or like what they have said or done. That's immaterial. You still have to recognize your mother and your father as and honor them. There are those who won't do it. Including some in my own household, who, and that's not right. They can't do that. You have to honor your mother and your father, whether you like it or don't like it. It is necessary. Cursed be he who moves his neighbor's landmark. Now, in those days they set a pile of rocks up, and that marked the landmark. Now today they come with the surveyors and they drive a stake and put a mark in and a stake. The Lord says you're cursed if you try to move over and get a few feet of somebody else's land. But also, I think that can be applied to not rightly dividing the word of the Lord. That we can be moving God's word by not rightly dividing it, teaching in error. That's my interpretation for whatever it's worth. Cursed be he who perverts the justice due to the stranger or the sojourner, to the fatherless and the widow. So we are to honor the sojourner. We are to honor the widow and the fatherless. We're to honor them. If we can be of help to somebody, now there are those who will be a leech and don't want to help themselves. And I don't think that this is what that means. I think this is somebody who really needs help, who's trying to help themselves and has a problem, and you're able to help them. If you don't do it, you're cursed. Now there's those who come around begging, and that's the way they make a living and doing that. And I think you got to be wise with it. We have lots of them come by here, and sometimes they'll come by and they say, I'm trying to get to my mother's or someplace, and I need gas money, and we have lots of them do that. And sometimes, we had one come by here going somewhere back on east, and I said, why did you come to Hot Springs? Why did you travel way off of the highway to come up here when you're going that way? They couldn't answer me. See? And we had another family that came through, a whole family. And they had come from California, and they were going to the East Coast. And their story was that they were trying to get back to somebody's was dying or sick or something, and come to find out one of the kids, they had four or five kids, and some of them was about 12 or 14 years old, and there were some other kids here at the time, and they confided into them that they left California with no money, and they weren't going anywhere to see anybody, they were just traveling. Got to watch. You can be taken in, especially in this day. Cursed be he who lies with his father's wife, because he uncovers what belongs to his father. That's a 10-generation curse. Cursed be he who lies with any beast. All the people say amen. Bestiality. 10-generation curse. Cursed be he who lies with his half-sister, whether his father's or his mother's daughter. And all the people shall say amen. 10-generation curse. Cursed be he who lies with his mother-in-law. 10-generation curse. Cursed be he who slays his neighbor secretly. Well, that's a 4-generation curse. It ought to be a 10, but it's a 4. It's the way I understand. Cursed be he who takes a bride to slay an innocent person. But thou, verse 26, caps them all. Cursed be he who does not support and give assent to the words of this law to do them as the rule of his life. And all the people shall say amen. So it says you're cursed if you don't make these words the rule of your life to obey them. You're cursed. You're cursed. So God said that you're cursed. And we need to tell our kids and show them these things and say God said that if you do these things, God says you're cursed. Not just that, oh, don't do that, that's naughty. No, it's far beyond anything like that. It far exceeds anything. It's God says you're cursed, and you're putting the curse down on all your kids and grandkids. Whenever, if you have some kids, you're cursing them by doing that. And so we need to declare to our families. We need to be, to show. I never should have taught this to my kids. I've really never taught it just like I'm teaching it today. I've never taught it before in my life, just like this. Now, I have taught this for several years in a little different vein, but not exactly that God said like this. I've taught that we were cursed. And the first time I ever taught this, some of you heard me say this before, first time I ever taught it was to a group of ORU students over in Tulsa. There were two instructors and 33 ORU students that I taught to. And I taught them about what God said about incest and all these things here. But I didn't say God said. The Lord, when I started writing this article, I just it come to me that way. But it is God said. And when I was teaching, we were at using the facility of... Okay, what's the Youth for the Mission? No. Huh? No. Like Youth for the Mission, what's the other group?
Teen Challenge.
Teen Challenge. We're using Teen Challenge facility in Tulsa. And one of the boy that used to live here, I had gotten him into RU to finish his college and to become a doctor, and he is a doctor now. He's a major, maybe a colonel now, down in Texas, and he's a doctor there. And, anyway, he had gotten all these kids together to come for me to teach to them. I did it twice, and the Lord told me to teach on this chapter. I'd never done it in my life, hadn't even studied it. I was learning as I was teaching the kids. And sitting in the back was one of the teachers from ORU, was a woman. And she was a teacher in the, teacher of nursing. That's what she was. And she was sitting back there, and she never cracked a smile. She never had an expression on her face, never turned. And I thought, boy, I'm in for it from her. I thought maybe she'd been sent there to check on me, see, because we weren't on the campus. We were outside. I don't know. Oral Roberts might have let me teach on the campus if I'd have asked him to, because we've, in years past, in those days and before, we had been kind of in ways associated with him through the full gospel and through things, and he had gotten tapes. He'd order tapes from the different conventions from us, call up or write me a letter and say, will you send me this or that? And so anyway, we didn't ask. We used the other facility. And when I got done teaching on this, I said, we're going to do what I taught on. So I started calling out incest and fornication and bestiality and these things here with the kids. And when I did, before I got very far gone, this teacher sitting back here let out a blood-curdling scream. She'd been sitting there stoic and started withering across the floor back behind all the kids were up here, and she's back behind the kids. Well, they all turned around to see what's going on, you know. And here this teacher is going across the floor like a snake. So from there on, we had deliverance. Yeah. I think every kid got some help, especially one sweet girl from Michigan. One of the girls was praying with her, and she kept telling the girl, but I can't. And so finally they come and asked me, and I said, go get Irma to go pray with her as soon as she can. So Irma went to pray with her, and she said, what can't you? What? She said, I can't go home. She said, it was just before Thanksgiving, just a week before Thanksgiving that we did this. She said, I can't go home. And Irma said, why can't you go home? I can't go home. And Irma said, why can't you go home? So finally the girl told her. She said, my mother's a Christian, and she's got the Holy Spirit, but she's been molesting me and my daughter and my brother ever since I can remember. And this girl's now 18 years old. And she said, I'm afraid to go home. I'm afraid that she'll do it again. So we prayed with her and told her, instructed her to take a place of authority and stand and come against it in her mother. And so I think that she did go on home. But can you imagine here, she says, my mother's saved and got the Holy Spirit. But she said, ever since I can remember, she's molested us. See, you think those things aren't true. You think, well, that's out there with the uns. No, here it is in the household of faith. This girl down here at ORU studying at ORU, and she can't go home because of incest in the family. And yet her family sent her down here to study. But what a blessing it was to be able to pray with that girl. To set her free from it, to release her. We had another case here. I can tell you lots. But another one comes. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I don't know if you were involved with it or not, but we'll see when I tell it whether you were or not. There was a woman here that we knew from Illinois that we had met around in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Conventions in Chicago and St. Louis and all. And she was a spinster. And she came down here to camp meeting. And then she called up and said, I'm coming back to camp meeting again. And this time I need some prayer. I need some private prayer. And so Hermit told her, okay, come on down. Somebody will pray with you. And now this woman is either 70 or 71, something like that. And she comes, and her problem is that she'd never been married. She didn't want a man around her, touch her, incest when she was a little girl. And she had a fear of men. And they prayed with her. I don't know, did you pray with her? Prayed with her right here in the nursery, right here. Irma and a couple others prayed with her. Broke that curse over her, set her free. And oh, she was on cloud nine. She went back home to Illinois, and for some reason, in the fall, she went to spend the winter in Phoenix, Arizona. And while she was there, she met a gentleman whose wife had died 4 or 5 years before, her same age, and they got married. And she called us to tell us about it and tell us how happy she was. And we were out there a little while after that and met him. And she said, come stay with us while you're here. But no, we've got friends and all out there that we always stay with when we're out there in Phoenix, the Canadas and other friends, and Jack Canada and Jack Duran. That's it. I keep saying Canada. Jack Duran and Jack Canada, the two Jacks. We stay with either one of them, but it was a blessing to meet them. And after all these 70 some years, for this curse to be broken over her and to set free, and then God to do that for her. Amen. Well, enough tales. No, not quite. Acts chapter 16. Where did I read? Where am I reading? Deuteronomy. Well, I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I finished Deuteronomy 27. I want to read a couple of verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here, the last two verses, the last three verses of chapter 6. Those last two verses, 24 and 25. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to reverently fear and honor the Lord our God. Now, there's used correctly, the word fear. The Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it will be accounted as righteousness, comforting to God's will, through his word, through thought and action for us, if we are watchful to do all his commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Amen. So there's the conclusion of the matter. Acts chapter 16. I want to read from here. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, give yourself up to him. Take yourselves out of your own keeping and entrust yourselves into his keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and your household as well. So, if we obey the word, we write it on the doorpost, we put it on the refrigerator, we hang it on the walls, we teach our children that God said we have a right to the blessing and not the curse. Proverbs chapter 22. I read that to begin. I'm going to read it to conclude. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how do we train up a child in the way he should go? God said. It is written. God said. Not don't do that because you shouldn't. Don't do that because it's naughty. Don't do it because God said. Don't do it. Amen, amen. Well, I tell you, Sister Mildred, are you ready to come up here? I think you're just chomping at the bit over there. You come on up here. You're very good at what you're going to do.
Praise the Lord. You ready to get some deliverance?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now for the deliverance. Father, we come before you. We ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall. Let the power of your Spirit fall, Father, to free your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the authority that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you and praise you now for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, I break that curse for not teaching your children over each one here in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask the Lord to forgive us and cleanse us from it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, every one of us has been guilty of it. In the name of Jesus. And I call out, first of all, a child sacrifice, because many of our children have been sacrificed because of it. Come on out there, let them go. In the name of Jesus, I call out disobedience to God's word. Loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and come out. Rebellion, idolatry. Don't sit and look at me. Come on, work with me. Come on. Believe for the Lord to deliver you. If you want to get free from these, breathe in, breathe out, and let's get them out, okay? I break every curse of homosexuality in the name of Jesus, and I call out homosexuality. I break any lesbian curses, and I call them out in Jesus' name. Turn loose and let them go. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out child abuse, incest. I break that curse of the incest and curse of bastard for 10 generations back. In the name of Jesus, we call out every part of that curse in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come out of the bloodline in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, loose them and let them go. Come on out there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out spirits of adultery. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out spirits of rape and sodomy and whoredom. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Bestiality, let them go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, loosen them and let them go. Spirits of prostitution, eating of the blood. In the name of Jesus, if you've ever eaten a rare steak and gotten eaten the blood, or had blood pudding or blood sausage, you need to repent of eating of the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I call out spirits from eating of the blood. Loosen and let go diabetes and all high blood pressure, all the blood diseases. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. Eating of fat, we break that curse from eating fat and loosen it and command the spirits of, what is it, comes in from the fat? Heart diseases and plaque in the name of Jesus, and stroke. I call out the stroke in the name of Jesus from eating fat and heart diseases. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirits of bondage and fornication, harlotry, sexual perversion, anger and rage. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of rebellion against the word of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell this. I know we're in probably in a hurry, but I tell this. I went to my church and was teaching on eating of pork and the fat. And everyone in my church, where I come from over in Tennessee, liked barbecue. And they had eaten it. And so I was breaking the curses off of them. I told them about it. And then they said, call it off of us. I said, okay. And when I got to the worms that's in the fork and the meat and called worms out, every one of them manifested. And they got deliverance from the worms. And this one lady in our church was always going around, I got a pain here and I got a pain there and I got a pain here. trigonosis, so I call it out in the name of Jesus from eating of pork in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of uncleanness, come out of there. Eating the fat, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them and turn them loose. Spirits of abortion, if you've ever had anything to do with someone that had an abortion, you're as guilty as they are. And you need to repent of it and ask the Lord to forgive you. In the name of Jesus, and the spirit of abortion and murder goes with abortion. In the name of Jesus, and child sacrifice and shedding of innocent blood, in Jesus' name, let them go. Turn them loose and let them go, in Jesus' name. I call out the spirit of murder, abuse, lust, sex during the period. Come out of there. Prostate gland trouble, female problems. In the name of Jesus, loosen them. Let them go, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Okay, take a deep breath and blow out. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break call out every spirit of incubus and succubus in the name of Jesus. Having sex with demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, spirits of idolatry, let them go. Disobedience, rebellion, spirits of lasciviousness, come out of there now. Spirit of masturbation, let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, anal sex and oral sex, come out of there now. Come out of the mouth and the throat in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of fornication, let them go in Jesus' name. Anger and rage, loosen them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them go in Jesus' name. Come on out of them, let them go. Incubus, let me find that spirit. No, that's not it. It's a sexual spirit. Nymphomania. That's what I want. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, whoredom, uncleanness, come out of them. In the name of Jesus, bestiality, spirits of bestiality, loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, loosen and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, everybody's delivered in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you, Father, that your word is true, that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And in the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask now that you just fill us afresh and anew. Let's ask the Lord to fill us with his presence. Father, fill us afresh and anew with your presence in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit just come forth and fill us. And Father, we thank you for filling us with the spirits of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the counsel, might, sound mind, and love and power in a sound mind in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for deliverance. And I ask, Father, that you cleanse the church now in the name of Jesus. I bind backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you for deliverance and anointing. Let the anointing now minister to your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. The Lord is good.
One thing the Lord really blessed me on coming back to our church is to come against his son and his congregation.
Okay. Okay. I'll call out that deaf and dumb spirit right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He is a ruler, is a strong man. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out there. Loosen them. Can hear and can speak. Come out there. In the name of Jesus. Turn loose and come out there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.